It's time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, the editor and publisher of the Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us today.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, it's warmed up a little bit, but certainly the story of the week has been the cold. And I want to hear about this. I cannot believe people were out running or biking or kick sledding in this weather for the Arrowhead Ultra 135. Is that what it's called?
That's what it is, yes.
Ugh. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's an ultra marathon. It's been around for a while. I mean, we've been reporting on this race for more than a dozen years, and it's become a pretty big deal as it's gotten more and more known. I think it probably got a little more notoriety here just recently when a couple folks came out with a book about the toughest races in the world, and this was one of those listed. It takes place always either that last week of January or the first week of February, and it's timed to coincide with what is typically the coldest weather of the whole winter, and they nailed it this year, that's for sure. And they got exactly the kind of conditions they're looking for in order to test the mettle of these racers who, you know, they're just into, the people who are attracted to this are, they're into the most extreme kind of challenges. You know, I mean, I talked to a number of the participants and, these people are, they're out there trying to climb Denali, one of the guys has twice tried to swim the English Channel. I mean, they're partaking in all of the most brutal kinds of challenges, and everybody I talked to, pretty much to a person, said this is the toughest thing of all that they do. And this year in particular, it starts in International Falls. It starts every year at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Monday. And they have 60 hours to make it to Fortune Bay near Tower on Lake Vermilion. And it's all takes place on the Arrowhead Snowmobile Trail, and actually a couple other snowmobile trails along the way. But so it's all on snowmobile trails. So, you know, the going is can vary a lot depending on the conditions. And this year the trail was hard, which was good for the bikers, but the conditions were just so extreme that it was really a challenge for people. And I mean, it's really interesting when you get photos of people at the end. You know, and I was camped out on Tuesday morning to get some of the bikers who were coming in, and they're of course wearing, all you can see is their eyes. You know, everything else is covered, and they just look like they're frosted completely. Sometimes they come in with, I've had pictures in the past where they've come in with a 7-inch snotsicle, if you have any idea what that looks like, because they're just, coated in frost and ice and everything else. All their breath just freezes as it and starts to, drip a little bit. And it's pretty ugly, actually, as they come in. And everybody I talked to just said they just could not believe the conditions. For most of us, it's challenging just running back and forth to the car or, in and out of the house, things like that. Some of these racers were actually out in those conditions for days without, and some of them were unsupported. Some had the choice of racing and having the opportunity to warm up at a couple of checkpoints along the way. But others did it without that opportunity. So they were out in those temperatures for many, many hours. I talked to one woman who was the first female runner to come in, and they had very few that actually made it. They had 64 runners who started the race and only 13 who finished. The one woman I talked to who had finished said she had been running for just over 48 hours with about a 15-minute cat nap at Mel George's Resort on Elephant Lake, which is at about the halfway point. She kept running through the night, know, Monday night and Tuesday night. It just sounded horrifying. I mean, she did have a sleeping bag with her, but she said she didn't want to get into it because she was afraid she wouldn't get out. And so she just kept going, you know, for 48 hours, just either running or walking, you know, and trying to make sure that she wasn't taking too much frigid air into her lungs the whole time. A lot of the people, by the time they were done, they had coughs or kind of a real hoarse chest just because of all the cold air they had taken in during the course of the race. Fortunately, they didn't have, they had just, you know, a little bit of minor frostbite, but nothing serious this year. The racers, a lot of them have done the race for many years, so they know what they're dealing with here, and they've come very, very prepared, which was good. I know in some of the early years that they ran this race, they had some folks who maybe weren't quite as experienced, and some of them got themselves in real trouble. So, but this year they seem to handle it okay.
So you have to be kind of an extreme athlete to be in this in the first place?
Or oh, no question. Okay. Yeah, you have to have done these kinds of races in the past. You know, so you do have to qualify, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's stick with the weather and the cold. I know you recently talked to the state climatologist. What'd you find out?
Yeah, well, I talked to him actually on Wednesday because, you know, there was a little bit of concern here about Tower's record. You know, this was really the coldest air mass, according to the state climatologist Pete Boulay, that had settled over Minnesota probably since 1996, which was the last time, you know, we had, well, that was the time we set the all-time state record in Tower of minus 60 degrees. And so, you know, and Pete had said, well, there was the possibility that, you know, that record could fall as of Thursday morning. And so we were a little bit nervous here in Tower, but it turns out that the record held, although Cotton came very close. They hit minus 56 on Thursday, although that wasn't their official reading for Thursday morning. Actually, the minus 56 happened after 6 a.m., which is when they take their official reading. So the minus 56 reading will actually show up in their Friday report. They came close. Lots of other folks had temperatures, you know, in the upper 40s below. Cabotogama came in with a minus 50, but there were a lot of locations up in northern St. Louis County that were in the 46, 47 below range. I know I keep a thermometer down along the swamp edge right behind our house, and I go down there when it's cold like this to check it, and it was 48 below there. So so it was chilly. There's no question about it. But I still did my mile-and-a-half loop on the snowshoe trail.
Wow. Well, and another weather-related story has to do with the John Bear Grease sled dog race. Who won? Tell us more about it.
Yeah, well, actually, a couple from Finland, Blake and Jennifer Frecking, and that's Finland down there near the North Shore, not the country. And actually, Jennifer Frecking has an Ely connection because she is a veterinarian and is a vet at the Ely Vet Clinic. So a lot of folks in the Ely area and Tower area know Jen because they've probably had their pets taken care of by her over the years. I know we certainly have. Her husband, Blake, took first in the John Bear Grease, and Jen came in second place. So that's pretty remarkable for them to be that successful. And, of course, they're experienced mushers. They've both done the Iditarod in the past. And the John Bear Grease actually is a qualifying race for the Iditarod. And it's a 293-mile race that runs from Duluth to Grand Portage. It's the longest sled dog race in the lower 48 states. And it's been around a long time. It's pretty well known. And they obviously raced you know, through the same kind of conditions that the maybe not quite as cold down there on the North Shore as we were up here for the Arrowhead 135, but still very brutal conditions. And it was kind of interesting, too. It turned out to be quite a surprise at the end because a fellow from Skagway, Alaska, Ryan Reddington, who has been a top competitor in the race in the past, he was leading by over an hour at the final checkpoint. But he ended up having problems with his dogs at the very end. For whatever reason, a number of them decided they were done, and he ended up, I think, finishing with about six dogs out of his original team of 12, and ended up getting lapped in the last few miles by the Freckings. So, in fact, in the end, he came in sixth place. So a little bit disappointing for him, but a nice win, obviously, for the Freckings. And I know that this probably isn't the end of their racing for this year. They're pretty avid mushers.
Probably a good advantage to be a veterinarian if you're...
I would think so. Yeah. She knows her dogs, that's for sure.
No kidding. Well, before we go, I want to hear about the Minnesota Newspaper Association. Is that what it's called? And they had their convention last week.
Yes.
And I know it's probably so fun for you to report on yourselves, but how did it go?
Well, it went fine. You know, I mean, and the thing we report on generally is that we always take part in the association's Better Newspaper Contest, and we've done very well in that over the years, and won a number of awards this year as well. I think the one that was probably the nicest was the first place for best investigative reporting, and that was for our story on Frontier Communications, and of course that reporting led to the state opening an investigation into Frontier, which has now revealed just long list of major problems with the company and its operations here in Minnesota, and that'll probably lead to some changes in how they operate here in the future.
Well, congratulations! I know we heard from lots of listeners as you've been reporting on this for the last couple of years, it's been a while.
It's been over a year. Yep.
Yeah, and people have appreciated hearing that story, and we commend you. Congratulations on the awards.
Well, thanks so much.
It's Marshall Helmberger. You can find more information at timberj.com. Have a great weekend. We'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.